Thanks so much, Tim. Well, the next speaker is myself. I'm happy to share with you some research. My name is Juan Carlos Diaz, by the way, and talking to you about some research we have been conducting over the last probably close to 10 years on using shading nets for bell pepper production, field bell pepper production in Georgia. One of the main driving factors for looking into that technology, which usually in Georgia everything is under field conditions, is climate change, or although this is still a controversial issue, but we've seen a lot of temperature increases and the data are there. And some of the areas of the world or the country in which subject to challenges due to these changes in temperature include South United States, like where we are now, and the southeast of the United States. To face these issues of temperature changes and challenges in environmental conditions, plastic culture has been utilized and is still utilized, all the way from mulches, microtunnels, high tunnels, shade houses, greenhouses. Protected agriculture seems to be one way to help us deal with these environmental factors. In this talk, I will be talking to you about shade technology. But why is plastic culture so helpful? Well, in short, the plastic culture technologies basically alter the energy balance for the crop. Okay? And that's important because ultimately what we're doing in agriculture is capturing energy that comes from the sun. But that energy can work against us, and especially energy in the form of heat. So why shade houses is utilized in other parts of the world, all the way from countries like Spain, Mexico, Central America, Israel, are commonly users of this technology. You get the benefits of a greenhouse in various ways at a much lower cost, all the way from increasing yield and quality, reduced incidence of pests and diseases. You can even extend your season. This technology, however, is not new. Like in the case for us in Georgia, this technology was used 100 years ago for the production of tobacco, and that was a very important industry 100 years ago in Georgia, and not only in Georgia, in other parts of the country. So the technology has been known, and there are some very interesting old papers about it. But we are now revising that technology and try to use it again and under our new conditions and new challenges, and some of the leaders of the use shading nets, and particularly the use of color nets, because in reality before we used to use only black net, but now some studies have shown that color nets produce certain interesting crop responses, and in that we have quite a bit of research in Israel, particularly the group of Dr. Shafak over there, so we wanted to test that possibility in the U.S. And one of the benefits we get by the use of shading nets is reducing fruit physiological disorders like sun scald. We have done research in Georgia showing that reduce sun scald problems by means of shading nets. This is briefly what we found in Georgia, that evaluating different rates of shading level, we found that a research of about 30 to 40% under field condition gave us the highest yield and quality. And basically, this was a result of two things, increased in fruit size and a reduction in non-marketable yields. Basically, especially reduction in fruit physiological disorders. As you can see there, much increased reduction, a very strong reduction in sun scald. But the question we wanted to answer is, do color shade nets offer a a new way to improve the quality of papers? And if so, why do you do that? And we have research like the one I'm showing now. This was conducted in Israel by Falik and others, indicating that the different color of the net can have can vary in terms of response of the crop. One of the explanations of why color nets affect the crop in different ways is due to an influence on the phytochrome response of the plants. It has been proposed that color shade nets modify the light environment of the crop, basically the red, far red ratio in the house or under the net, and that affects the phytochrome physiology and in turn affects plant growth and yield. And this is another paper showing how nets can affect the light quality under the net. So we wanted to test those different colored nets under field conditions, because a lot of the studies have been conducted in greenhouse or even under even more controlled conditions like growth chambers. And we conducted this study in Georgia, in the southern part of the state, in a place called Tifton, where the University of Georgia has a campus. Those were the treatments we used. We used black, red, silver, white, and unshaded as a control. That was the different mulches, nets we used. And the data we found is that basically air temperature under the net, although it was sometimes significantly different, but if you look at the numbers, the differences are very small in air temperature. So air temperature is not really affected too strongly, particularly if you look at root zone temperature. In reality, the changes in root zone temperature between the different nets and between the different nets and unshaded conditions are striking. In reality, look at unshaded conditions, and the unshaded treatment shows the highest root zone temperature. Keep that in mind, because many studies don't report the effect on the root zone temperature. And at least what we have found, as you will see here, in previous studies we have found that the effect of root zone temperature is very strong. It's very strong and sometimes helps us explain the crop responses. So, plant height, as you can see in the table, is really no different between the different color nets. Although plant height diameter and basically plant growth was reduced under unshaded conditions with little differences between color nets. And interestingly also, look at the level of incidence of soil-borne diseases, which is the last column on the right. Plants under unshaded conditions were having high incidence of soil-borne diseases. That's very interesting, and that's something similar we found in a previous study using just black net. So apparently, the shade nets influence plant-pathogen interaction. How that occurs, we're not sure. Okay? The mechanism is something interesting, and we're working with a plant pathologist to try to ascertain what may be going on. In this slide, you can see that the plants that are under unshaded conditions, this is just an example, really look very reduced in growth. What else happened in terms of physiology of the plant? Well, briefly, if you look at the table, there was some effect on photosynthesis. Plants under unshaded conditions were... I need to see the time. Photosynthesis was reduced under unshaded conditions, and there were some differences between shading nets. Stomatal conductance was also reduced, And the particularly pay attention now also the effect on leaf temperature. If you look at unshaded and white net had highest leaf temperature. We started to evaluate whether that difference in leaf temperature could play a role in the responses. That was in 2015. Similar responses were found in 2016, in which we have a particularly very high leaf temperature under unshaded conditions and not really significant strong differences between leaf temperature between colored shade nets. In this graph, we can see that leaf temperature affected net photosynthesis, stomatal conductance, and photosynthetic efficiency. As you can see there, as you increase leaf temperature, photosynthesis and stomatal conductance decrease. This is important to keep in mind because as you can see, the importance of photosynthesis in crop production. And this photosynthesis was linearly related to stomatal conductance, which is suggesting that we have a strong stomatal limitation on photosynthesis resulting from a possible water stress. So that might be what we're suspecting is going on. Okay? So what happened with yields? Well, these are the yield response. Basically, little differences in yields between shade nets and reduced yield under unshaded conditions. So it's all pointing us to reinforce the previous findings that shade nets improve yields. But it's also telling us that the differences in both years, as you can see, 2015 and 16, there are not consistent differences in yields between shading nets, color shade nets. So the effect of the color, at least so far, is not being consistently shown, but with a strong response toward reduced yields with no shading level, shading. You can see again that as you increase leaf temperature, yields decrease. That's basically the take-home message. Yields decrease with increased leaf temperature. So it's again another evidence that the shading nets are resulting in increased yields. We saw no consistent differences in fruit quality measured as soluble solids and antioxidants, basically as total phenols, flavonols, cuprac, or teac. It's basically that's what the table is telling us. But if you can see, unshaded conditions had higher antioxidant levels. Okay? This is quite interesting. And that's a whole area that we need to look into. So, I mean, not running out of time, I will briefly conclude that color shade nets had an effect in general as shading nets. They improved fruit yield and quality, but there were no consistent differences between color shade nets in fruit yield, plant growth, and quality, which is basically suggesting that the effect of shading nets was by reducing solar radiation, and we did not find any evidence that the difference in color influenced in either positively or negatively crop response. So we think that the response of the plants in this case was mainly reduced by reduction in the heat load of the crop and reducing heat stress and water stress. Thank you.